Grace, mercy, and peace are yours.
From our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So it's a very familiar story. Peter steps out of the boat in the middle of a storm. But it's helpful to know the context of this great act of faith. Just the day before, Jesus had performed one of his most astounding miracles. Over 5,000 people had gathered to hear his teaching, and he fed them all with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And there was even enough left over for a sizable snack for the next day. He demonstrated very vividly what he meant when he says, "Give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap." Jesus never did and never does anything halfway. His blessings ran over, literally poured out beyond measure. And the significance of that miracle wasn't lost on the people who saw it. They recognized the possibilities that were presented in this man, but they wished to use them for the wrong purposes. Our gospel reading began, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. And you can hear the sense of urgency as Matthew records that. And we see why when we look at the event as told by John. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." And perceiving that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. The people saw this man had the ability to give them what they thought they needed and were going to force him to do so. So Jesus sent his disciples away so that they wouldn't become infected by this worldly view of the Messiah. His kingdom is not of this world. And so he sent his disciples safely on their way across the lake, sent the people home, and then went off by himself to pray. While he was praying, evening came, and as is common in that area, a storm came up which tossed the disciples' boat about. And seeing this, Jesus went out toward them, but as he came nearer, they became afraid, thinking it was some sort of spirit coming out across the water. And when he heard Jesus' voice, Peter boldly asked to come out on the water with him. But when he stepped out of the boat and saw the waves surging around him, his faith wavered, and as he began to sink, he called out to Jesus, who caught him and brought him safely to himself. So who are the main characters in this story? Who do we usually focus on? Certainly Jesus. Who else? Peter. They're the two main characters. Peter, being his typical impulsive self, attempts to do something for which he isn't ready. And when he does, he hears words which must have stung. "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And as we read of this event, sometimes we're tempted to look down on Peter a little bit and say, "Yeah, what's the matter with you, Peter? Jesus just fed over 5,000 people. Don't you think he can keep you safe?" But what about the others? What about the other disciples? What were they doing? You know, we so quickly look down on Peter for his lack of faith, but at least he was willing to get out of the boat. Or rather, at least he was willing to try. The rest of his disciples were perfectly content to sit in the boat where it was relatively safe and secure and let Peter take the lead. They were willing to be observers, but not too interested in taking part in the action. Some years ago, I was working outside my home here in South Dakota. Had quite a list of things to do that day, and as I was mowing the lawn, I saw a car stop on the other side of the street. And two adult women and a child got out, walked down the street, and began knocking on doors. When they got to our house, they caught my eye and mentioned that they were making visits in the neighborhood and wondered if there was anybody in the house they could speak with. So there I stood with the lawnmower running, and all I could think about was the fact that I had so many things to do, and I knew who these people were and which religious organization they represented. But as I told them there was nobody around, I was secretly glad that it was obvious that I was busy. But after they left, I began to think about what I'd done. I'd let an opportunity slip by. Now, I have no delusions. I know that our conversation probably wouldn't have convinced them that they had a wrong understanding of God and the real way of salvation. If I'd taken the time, I probably would have been more frustrated after speaking with them than I felt right then. But I knew that I'd let an opportunity pass by. All I would have had to do was stop for a moment, tell them I'd give them 10 minutes, and then used it as an opportunity for me to give voice to the hope that is within me, as Peter encourages us, right? But it was easier to stay in the boat, to take no risk. And how often aren't we, like those disciples, content to sit safely on the sidelines? For centuries, the church has been likened to a boat. This room is called the nave, which is related to the word navy. A safe haven amid storms and tumults of life, floating on a sea of chaos and sin. So here we sit, safe and secure from the world. But what's our purpose? Certainly we need refuge. We need a place where we can go to be recharged and refueled so we can face the challenges of this sinful world. But the question is, do we ever take our faith out of this place? Do we ever get out of the boat and take the step of faith that Peter did? As you left the nave of one of the churches I served as a vacancy pastor many years ago, you could look up and read these words: "The worship is over, now the service begins." And then when you left the actual church building, you could read, "As you leave, take Christ with you." Those are great thoughts. Now that we've been fed with the bread of life, we take that bread out into a starving world. That's our purpose and challenge as the people of God. Not to be content to let our faith life remain separate from our everyday life, but rather to integrate our faith in life and let it show through what we say and do every day. And there are so many ways that can be done. As my children grew older, I became more and more firmly convinced that our number one mission as parents was our children. We have a preschool here because we believe having an impact on little children early can have a huge impact on their lives. And many of us are hoping to begin an early learning center to provide both preschool and all-day care. Now, think of what 8 hours or more of contact each day with these children by a staff that is motivated to tell and show these little ones the love of Jesus every chance they can. Imagine what that might do. Not just for the children, but for their parents and other family members as well. But we also have a mission field of our own children to teach and guide them in the way they should go. So are we letting our faith speak in what we do as well as in what we say? Do we monitor the television and the computer so that they understand that this world offers things which are not healthy, even though they're accepted throughout our society? Do we daily demonstrate love and compassion and forgiveness in the way we treat them and the way we treat others? It won't be long until we're called to exercise our right as citizens and cast our ballots and elect leaders for our community and country. What's the basis as we make our choice for whom we vote? Do we consider the moral and ethical positions of the candidates as well as their promises to increase our standard of living? And do we have a compelling reason to telling others why we choose to vote if they should ask us what our position is? These are just a couple of areas in which the life of faith can have a direct impact. And I'm sure that you can think of many more. Being more helpful to that friend in the workplace. Being an honest and forthright employee. Inviting someone to church. Being involved in the church as a volunteer, an usher, choir member, church officer, a voting member. There are so many ways our faith can touch other parts of our lives. But it can be kind of a scary prospect. It can be difficult to step out and take chances for your faith. And that's when we need to look back on the event there on that lake in Galilee and see that we're never alone as we do. One man said that this was far more than a story of what Jesus did in a storm in far-off Palestine. It's the sign and symbol of what he always does for his people. When Jesus saw the need of his disciples, he went out on the lake to help them. And as Peter began to sink in the water, he reached out his hand and caught him up to safety. He showed himself to be what the psalmist said of God. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. In the hour of the disciples' need, he was there for us, there for them. And the same is true for us. It was his love and concern which drove him to the cross, where he poured out his life. He saw our need and he took the necessary measures to meet that need. He was willing to give us life, his life, excuse me. He was willing to give his life so that we might have eternal life. And the resurrection is the proof that he has the power to be with us in our troubles even now. He's no longer dead, but lives for us and is with us even now. When we face difficulties, when we're afraid to take that step of faith, we take confidence and the fact that he is here with us. St. Francis of Sales wrote about a custom in the countryside where he lived. He'd often noticed a farm servant going across a farmyard to the well and filling her buckets. But before she lifted the buckets, she would always place a piece of wood into them. And one day he asked her why she did this, and she responded, "Well, that wood keeps the water from spilling. It keeps it steady." In writing to a friend later, he told this anecdote and added, "So when your heart is distressed and agitated, put the wood of the cross into its center to keep it steady." Now, earlier I mentioned a time when I missed an opportunity to share Christ's love with others. But my prayer is that I'll not do so again. See, none of us need to miss an opportunity to exercise our faith. And when we fear the call to step out of the boat, we hold the cross before our mind's eye, we steady up, and in faith we do so with boldness. Amen.